Hello? Is Michelle?
Log Talk Radio. Welcome to New Age Guild Radio. We are a growing community striving to bring you New Age and holistic practitioners, news, resources, and trending information from across the community. We welcome your feedback and suggestions for future programming, and yes, we do take questions on the air. Please visit us for free at newageguild.com to find a practitioner and what's happening in your community and beyond. And please don't forget to follow our program before the end of the broadcast. So sit back, enjoy the show, and welcome to our many guests and our wonderful listeners.
Well, good morning and happy Saturday. I hope everybody can hear me, and I apologize for coming on and getting started late. It seems that the weather system that's wreaking havoc on the coast down in Texas is wreaking havoc on our service providers. So we had some trouble, some technical difficulties today. I'm going to check in and see if we have our guest on. Is this Michelle?
It is. Hi.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much. I apologize for all the glitchy nature of getting on today, but I guess Mother Nature and God is just pounding on the servers today, and it made it kind of hard. I had to be creative. So hopefully you can hear me because I've got a couple of cell phones going on in the background to generate this call, to generate the show today rather than our normal bevy of computer banks because of the lack of service. So can you hear me okay?
Oh, dear. I can, just fine. It's a little bit cell phony, but it's fine.
Okay, so I'm going to do a couple of things here to try to change the nature of the cell phony.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
No,
is this any better?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, good.
How am I
so
coming?
Welcome to.
Am I coming through okay?
I can hear you perfectly fine. I can hear you perfectly fine.
Great.
I just want to make sure that you can hear me. So, yeah. Michelle, welcome to Spirit Talk Radio. I've been looking forward to getting you on the show here and letting you talk to the community about who and what you are and what you do and how fabulous you are. So I wanted to give you a couple of minutes here to talk
okay.
to people about what you provide and the services that you provide and how awesome you are. So you want to, who are you? Where are you from? And what do you do?
I'm from Seattle, Washington. I live here and I work here, and I was actually born and raised here. I do shamanic healing and family and systemic constellations work primarily. Those are two of the main modalities that I work with, but what I really like to do is work with people to help them get unstuck and to get through situations that seem to be difficult, whether it's a loss or a breakup or just an experience someone had where they don't feel completely themselves. And so I use whatever modalities I have at hand to help people with that. I like to help people restore themselves to themselves. And so many of us are walking around with patterns that are frozen in time, whether they be ancestral or from something that happened in childhood or a move or things more difficult than that. So that's what I like to help
so
with.
You said something that really stood out for me as you were going through that, and that was really cool, and that you love and you use the term love to help people get out of being stuck. What does that mean, helping people get out, come out of being stuck?
Well, a lot of times what I see when people are stuck, like they know that they could be doing more with their lives, or they know that they've been grieving the loss of somebody or a pet or something for too long, like it's taking their life force, or they just don't quite feel themselves. They don't feel that same sense of self-confidence or joy or connection with their relationships or the things that they normally love to do. So those are the kinds of things. Or people that know they have a purpose, but they don't know what it is, or they haven't quite connected to it.
Wow. And you said also, you said, as I'm reading through here, because I like to take notes of people talking, that people suffer losses. And you mentioned not just, you know, people, just the beloved pets. When people suffer losses, that it can suck their life force out. And I don't think people understand how that can really, like, just stop their life, make them stand still in time when they're in a process of loss. So you're in your process, you help people. What do you heal them through the loss? You release them. What is it that you do with people when they're in that space of loss?
Well, again, it's so different for everybody. But a lot of times, from the shamanic perspective, what can happen is you actually would have soul loss, where a part of your vital essence leaves. Sometimes it will go just. It's a survival mechanism, so it's a natural, healthy thing. In psychology, it might liken to dissociation, where, like, if we have an auto accident, people have reported seeing themselves down below, you know, even if it's not a critical one. Like, part of us leaves our body. We're really good at leaving our body quite a lot, actually. A lot of us don't completely stay in our body all the time, or or as much as, you know, people call that being ungrounded. But in the case of some kind of shock or loss, part of us leaves. And so with the soul retrieval, excuse me, what we do is go and get that soul part in the spirit realm, where it's gone in the spirit realm, to be safe, to be away from the situation, or just because it's like, I don't want to deal with this, so I'm going to go someplace better. And that's good in the moment, but we need to get all of us back. So in the case of a loss, like I lost my mother back in 1996, and my resting heart rate at the time was over 110 beats per minute. And my MD doctor actually recommended I go see a shamanic practitioner and get a soul retrieval. And I've been in the healing arts since the mid-80s, and I'd always been interested in shamanism, but I never knew where to find anybody. So this was kind of a match made in heaven. I went up there. She did a soul retrieval, told me what she saw, which is often symbolic or a metaphor for what's going on, the way images will come to you that well describe the energy of what's happening. So she saw that I had gone with my mother, and that we were all kind of tied together by a rope, me and the ones who went before. And so those ropes were cut, and my mom was able to go and cross over, and it left me back, and I was better. My heart rate went back to normal. And it had been really fast for a long time. So I got that part of me back that had a little bit of me had gone with her. So that's one example.
And I'm assuming your mother and you were really close with your mother?
In some ways, it was troubled. She was sick for a long time and lived a ways away. And, you know, it was a difficult relationship. And so... I've found in my life, when loved ones have died, when they're at peace and their affairs are in order, and they're ready in a way, like they don't want to leave, but they're prepared to leave. For me, I experience less grief or shortened grief. But when there's relationships that are troubled, and again, this is my own experience, It's a lot harder. And I think sometimes we can be feeling tied into their difficulty in the transition. And so that can be another thing that can happen, is if the loved ones that pass away, die suddenly and unexpectedly, or they're really attached to things here, we can feel that their spirit is at unrest, and we might not know it's their spirit. We might just feel at unrest. And so a lot of the work I do in that case is help people cross over.
Yeah. So I think I heard you say that you were in a process of grief, and your medical practitioner told you to go find a shaman and do a soul retrieval. Is that what you said?
He actually gave me the name of somebody.
That's amazing.
I know.
Your doctor prescribed
yeah.
the spiritual practitioner to help you through the next. That is absolutely incredible. Are you still engaged with that doctor in terms of your physical support system?
I'm not, but I have doctors like that. All my doctors are witches to some degree, I think. Alchemists or witches are, truly healers. And she was truly a healer, yeah. She's not practicing medicine anymore. I think she does more counseling and things like that.
Oh, so she evolved to the next level in her own process. That's
yeah.
really super, super, super cool. Now, I'm noticing as I reach out and engage with people in our programming and our processes that the universe seems to be calling back. I'm calling it this whole process of shamanism, because more and more practitioners are going from mediumship or intuitive arts to learning and being educated and getting the download and dipping into the more deeper support through the shamanistic process. What
mm-hmm.
really is different? Because I see in all your gifts that you, like many of us, you do have all this other wonderful tools that you come to the table with, but what is it that makes it different to be a shaman versus, going to somebody like, you're an intuitive, you're a tarot reader, but in the shamanistic support, what makes that so powerful
yeah.
for an individual?
Well, first, I wouldn't call myself a shaman. I work with shamanic techniques and tools, and I live a shamanic way. But I wouldn't call myself. I'm a shaman. I don't.
Okay.
However, I think with shamanism, I have so many thoughts swirling in my head, so I need to kind of sort them out. But,
okay, fair enough.
Yeah. What I love about it and why I think it's so powerful, because I've been trained in Reiki and voice dialogue, I mean, so many different things. What I love about it is it's, and a lot of us have had experiences with more mentally oriented disciplines, whether meditation or not all of them are mentally oriented, but a lot of things are thought-based. And this is very phenomenologically based. It's based, what differentiates it is we engage with the spirit realm and we go into their realm to get answers and healing and bring it back here. So that's one of the things. And it's also a discipline in learning what spirits to engage with and which spirits not to engage with, and how to discern and how to learn to have, from the shamanic perspective, we're powerful in this realm and the spirits are powerful in that realm, in their realm. So the spirits don't always know, for example, what's appropriate in this realm. And so we need to be the mediator between the spirit realm and this realm. It's also known as a hollow bone. So, for example, an eagle bone is hollow in the middle, and so it's strong on the outside, but it's hollow so spirit can come through.
Mm. Wow. That's actually interesting.
I've also found the, whether you call them technologies, soul retrieval, extraction, depossession, that especially the ways of getting rid of negative energy are very, very sophisticated and really honoring of all sides. So there's a sense of non-duality. Like even people are afraid of dark energies, but when you're in that shamanic state of mind, of presence, of spirit, there is no duality because everything has its place in this universe. And so part of the job is to help those beings find their appropriate place. Or that energy, mm-hmm. if you get an intrusion, which is just energy, and it's something feeling really heavy, it might be more of an earth element, and it doesn't, it's not compatible with our body, but it doesn't mean that it's bad. It just really feels bad when it's in our body. But it has another place. It has a place where it belongs, maybe back with the stone people, for example.
So you have some people that are so fascinating talking about this. This is a really awesome subject. But you have some people that would love to connect with you. I wanted to take a minute here to give you an opportunity to answer questions if you're open to it. Would you like to take a call or two?
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay, hold on a second. This is where our technology comes to life.
Yeah.
Good morning. You are on the air with Michelle. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, are you talking to me? Hi, my name is Maddie.
Yes.
I just tuned in, and I just wanted to listen. I don't have a question or a comment. I just want this is like enlightenment for me, you know, inspirational.
Well, good.
Yes. I didn't have a question. In fact, I just tuned in, and I thought, who am I listening to? I forgot.
Okay.
But, I think she's witchcraft. Is that witchcraft in the topic?
I mostly do shamanic healing work and also something called family and systemic constellations, which in part works with ancestral issues. Excuse me.
Oh, ancestral issues. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So are you saying that you're enjoying the listening, or do you have a question? Because this is an opportunity that she, you know, Michelle can answer a question for you if you had a question to kind of show how she.
So our ancestors.
Yeah.
So my ancestors have an effect on. Have an effect on who I am and what I'm all about.
Right. Oh, is that a question? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a question, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. Because a lot of us don't. Can you hear me?
Seemed like you were fading out a little bit, but I hear you now, yes.
Okay. Our ancestors play a big part in who we are today. In many cultures, people venerate their ancestors. They know about family history. They know about the family stories. In our culture, or in this United States anyway, many of us don't know that. And so oftentimes our ancestors, all of us come from very strong ancestors because we are proof that they survived through us. So in many ways, we come from the love of thousands. We go back about, I forget how many it is, five generations. We have maybe around 1,000 direct grandparents. Ancestors, grandparents. I could be wrong on the math on that. I do know that if we go back about 25 generations, we can have up to like 33 million direct grandparents. So because
oh my God,
it expands. Yeah, I mean,
we only go back to great grandmom. Wow, and he's good about all those.
Yeah, you have. You have four grandparents, and then you would have, 8 great-grandparents and 16 great-great-grandparents, and so it multiplies exponentially. So you don't have to go back too far to have really a lot of ancestors that you come from that survived incredible situations, from freezing to famine to epidemics to all kinds of things. And so it's important that people know that we have a lot of strength, because a lot of times we might think of the pain or the struggles that our ancestors had, and that's also true. So sometimes the patterns that we carry can be associated to our ancestors. And so when I talk about things being frozen in time, sometimes there's patterns in families that are frozen back in time when something occurred. And through shamanism and the constellation work, both of them are good at going back, especially the constellations work, going back in time and seeing what movement really naturally wanted to happen and giving it space to allow it. And then oftentimes those patterns can find resolution. And sometimes it's a matter of just acknowledging them and letting them know that you see them, that you know who they are in your heart. So our ancestors have a great amount of influence on us, for good and for challenges too. A woman named Caitlin Matthews, who's a British shamanic teacher, calls it our ancestral bequest. So it's that which we inherit from our ancestors, that which they pass down to us.
Wow, this is interesting. Her name is Kate what?
Caitlin Matthews, C-A-I-T-L-I-N Matthews.
C-A-I-T-L-A-N?
I think so, or L-A-I-N. Just a second, I'll look it up. I have it right here on my bookshelf. Where is her? C-A-I-T-L-I-N.
C-A-I-T-L-A-N. Caitlin. Okay, Kate Caitlin. Okay.
Caitlin, yeah.
Oh, Caitlin.
Yeah. C-A-I-T-L-I-N.
But her first name is Kate?
Caitlin Matthews.
Oh, Matthews. Oh, okay.
Matthews is her last name. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Matthews.
Those
okay.
are really great information. Really, really great information. Wow.
Very interesting, because you give me definite food for thought. Because, like, wow. It goes on and on and on and on, way back, yes.
It goes
and
way
wow.
back. It goes way back to the motherland or our fatherland. And
whoa.
Those also, the land where our ancestors came from also, is I found to be very important to us. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that was awesome. Was that helpful? Did that help you kind of get some kind of clarity around, you know, the next step or the things that you're interested in studying or getting more information on?
Yes, it definitely helped me.
Awesome.
Yes. Like I said a seconds ago, it really opened my mind up to, like, wow, I hadn't thought about the great 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 granddad and the great 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 grandmom, and, you know, just go on back and back. As far as I've gotten to the great grandmom, and that was pretty much it. And and so now I have to think about, what am I made up of, you know?
If we go way back, our ancestors may not be in a human form. We have a shared ancestry, really, with everything that exists on our planet. I don't remember, like 33 billion years ago or something. It's called the last common ancestor, or our shared common ancestor, and it's a protozoa, but they've they found that we actually have a link with everything on Earth.
I believe that.
Yeah. And
I can believe that.
Someone I know, Orion Foxwood, posed the notion that really our oldest ancestor is God, because we're all linked to that cosmic stream. We came from the stars ultimately. Our planet came from the stars. So we can link our ancestry way back to really all that exists.
I love it.
That's
I love
really
it.
Amazing. Well, thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you.
It was
can
really cool hearing all that. Absolutely, absolutely. You can continue to listen. We have another caller here. I was going to let Michelle take the next caller, and then I was going to ask her some questions. So I want to make sure everybody who's holding has had an opportunity to connect with her. But I definitely, you can continue to listen. Hold on one second. Okay, everybody, I'm going to put our lovely caller on hold so that she can continue to listen. I'm going to take the next caller. Thank you for holding. You're on the air with Michelle. Who are we speaking to?
Kira from Alabama.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey. Good morning. I was just wondering where y'all do a reading.
You're wondering if I do readings?
Yeah, if you were doing readings on the show. Come on.
I could do an intuitive reading. If you had something, I could see what I get.
Okay.
Do you have a question for her, though? We'll make it a whole lot.
Yeah, love question. As usual. Go.
So why don't you, so doing readings on the radio can be kind of complicated, but if Michelle's open to it, that'd be awesome. If you could ask her a specific question, that would be really helpful. So if you have a specific question rather than like just a general question, that would help her kind of pinpoint the information for you so that she can give you some information.
Okay. Well, do you see me meeting someone soon?
I'm having a hard time understanding you. There's a lot of background noise. That's better. Can you repeat your question?
Yes, do you see me meeting someone?
Gosh, I'm having a hard time understanding with the reception.
So do you have, it feels like, I think I'm hearing it too, it's like there's a lot going on in the background. Is there a way for you to kind of quiet the noise around you so that she can hear? But I believe she asked Michelle if you could see her meeting someone. I don't know if that's enough information or for you to grab onto.
If I can see her meeting someone?
That was her question.
Yes, that's right.
In a relationship?
Yes.
Like a romantic relationship? I would have to see, the way I work is I am not that kind of psychic. I would want to sit down with you and spend more time and find out a little bit of your history and experience. And my way of working, unfortunately, is deeper than giving answers like that. Sometimes I can get answers like that, but usually I like to focus in on if you're not in relationship, why is that, and can we do something about it?
Mm.
So I don't think we have time in this show to kind of go in a little bit deeper with you to find that out. But what I would say is I have there's a kind of prayer that's a really powerful prayer that it sounds like a regular prayer, but something about it's different. And I think it's calling in grace. And you, with all your heart and soul, you think of something to say that's very precise For example, when I was working, someone told me all my managers were going to quit because of me, and there were like six of them. And I, there was one person who was working who kind of stirred up some things with everybody. And so I came home and I lit a votive candle for each one, and I said, please let them get what it is they're really needing at this time. So it wasn't about me, you know, saving face or not having troubles. It was really about them finding something. So the prayer kind of involves, like, please make the way clear for my beloved to find me, or something like that, with all your heart, and just let it burn down, you know, when you're home and in a safe place. And you could put that prayer out there. That's what I would, that's what I could recommend just at this time, not having time to go into all your history and things like that, is that really incredibly heartfelt prayer that you can each find each other.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
No, have a good day. Thank you for calling in.
Me too.
Really interesting, you know, the story you told, Michelle, about how you had the situation at your job, and how you came home and you said a prayer, the prayer for grace. A lot of people speak to this, and a lot of people use this and work with their clients, but, you know, most of the people that are out there don't know what that is. How did that help you, and what did you actually say? And what was the outcome of that particular situation? Now, that's a really good example of how powerful this tool can be.
Well, I didn't know what it was when I did it. I just didn't know what else to do. So I thought, when you don't know what else you can do, you pray, right?
You
ask for help from your helping spirit, if you're a Christian, from Jesus or God, or, you know, from the archangels or the saints, or who knows, the fairies, whoever it is you work with. And so I didn't know what else to do. But after that, nothing came of it. Absolutely nothing came of it. Nobody quit except for the one that was causing trouble. And everybody else, you know, continued doing a great job. I mentioned it to a friend who's in the medical profession. Somebody had seen a show with them on, and it wasn't even a patient of hers filed a complaint with the health department over a silly thing, and it turned into this 5-year challenge where she didn't know if she could continue practicing, and she's like the very top of her profession, like she's one of the best in the country, and so I mentioned about this prayer, and I just sort of described it. It's taken me a long time to identify that it was grace, and someone suggested that when I asked them, what do you think that is? And I've journeyed on it, and I've had students kind of look at what it is. And so I recommended that to her, and her attorney called her on the next day and said, you know, I don't know what you did, but the judge is actually going to give you, listen to your case in person. And he said,
wow.
they never really do that, but she did, and she was able to show that she really knew what she was doing, and it was all very scientific and all of that. It wasn't some woo-woo random thing. And the judge apologized to her and said, this should have never gotten this far, and threw the case out after 5 years of struggling with it. And another client had a property issue. She lives near a beach, and there was something about people being able to access the beach through her property or something. It was a neighborhood thing, and it was a very heated kind of thing. And she thought she might have to sell her cabin. And so I mentioned about this prayer, and she did it. And nothing ever came of that either. Like, it just became a non-issue. So it's an interesting thing. It's and somebody suggested it maybe has to do with grace, because it's not just praying for what you want. It's praying, it's bringing in grace, which is, I don't even know how to describe that really. One of the prayers I've said before is, let the truth be revealed. And that's been a very powerful prayer. And so it's not about me getting my way, but it's really about acknowledging the forces that are existing. And it, so with the employees, with the managers, I really felt in my heart, like, if everybody's that unhappy, then they need to find what it is they really need. You know, sometimes we can, be mad at somebody close to us when really what we're needing is to find something new in our life to, there's something calling to us, like taking pottery classes or starting to exercise or, you know, finding our purpose. You know, it's not the person in front of us, it's something in us that's calling to us or that isn't lined up for us in our lives. So.
Right. And so the thing about this concept of grace that, you know, when I work with my clients as well, is like taking a moment to stop and not making your life about yourself for that one moment, so that you can allow stuff to work. Because the image that I always have in my mind is like all these support systems, in the Great Spirit, the Holy Spirit, your ancestors, your guides, the all these energies are there trying to help you. So you could see them, you know, kind of like it all around you trying to help you. Mm-hmm. And we get so distracted by whatever it is that we're going through that they're like banging on glass, like, hey, I'm right here. But if you can take a moment to stop and be in that space you're describing, all of a sudden they can come through, and you'd be surprised how much help, right, can just kind of just start happening like a miracle, which is what it is, and allowed stuff to happen. That's kind of what it feels like to me. I'm like you, it's difficult to describe. It's not like you can say the definition of an apple is, you know, XYZ. It's just I find myself doing the same thing, kind of humming and hawing and walking around in circles trying to describe it, because you can't describe it. You have to experience it.
Right. I think so, too. I don't know. I'm going to go look up the definition of grace after this call and find out what's the definition. But for me, it really is more of a feeling. And it isn't about focusing on us. It's about allowing for all that exists and all the power of the spirit realm and nature and our hearts to help us with a solution or help other people with what they're really needing.
So that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's just absolutely beautiful. So I want to step back for a minute and kind of go back to the last caller. But you got me so kind of lit up around your prayer for grace that I wanted to spend some time on that. So thank you for sharing that. People call in a lot, you know, we do the show and they want to get, you know, a reading over the air, which is awesome, you know, to get some support. But I was very fascinated with the last caller because she had a question. But it was interesting that she didn't have like a real question, like, you know, when am I going to get out of this horrible relationship and find a really wonderful relationship? Or, you know, she's just like, when am I going to meet somebody? And that can be a difficult question to answer, right?
Well, for me it is, because I don't really do those. I know there are really good psychics and clairvoyants who can answer, who just see those things. And that's not my gift. I don't know if it's hard for everybody, but for me, that's hard to answer because I usually like to dig in a little deeper. It's just how I work.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like that, you know, in how you want to dig in. You don't want to just say a Monday afternoon and order a latte and he's going to be standing right next to you. You want to dig in and find out, you know, what the symptoms are as to why this hasn't happened yet. Dig all that stuff out, clean it up, open it up, and then kind of set the path so they can go meet the wonderful guy. That's what I heard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how does that work for you? So if somebody wants to work with you, how do I work with you? How does that go? Is it just like I sit down for a session? Is this, do you see that as kind of like a more short-term, long-term? If I have something like that that I'm working through, how do I engage with you?
Well, my sessions are usually 2 hours, and I work over the phone or Skype. I prefer phone over Skype or in person. And I get a history from someone, find out what their goals are. And I work... maybe you might say holistically, in that I try to look at all aspects of, or many different aspects related to the issue or issues that somebody's presenting. Excuse me. I have a little frog in my throat. sorry. For example, what starts out being an issue like when am I going to meet somebody? I'm however old, 37, and I'm not 37. I just pulled that out of the hat. But, I've never been with some, you know, married or in a really long-term relationship, and I really want that. And so I would get some history, maybe dating history, maybe history from childhood. I might ask about what was your birth like. I might ask where your ancestors are from, where your family came from. It might be some past life thing. It can go in so many different directions. So I really treat every individual, every person is unique, and what I do is I listen on so many levels, and then I get images and things, and then I would do a shamanic journey, which is rattling or drumming, and ask my helping spirits. We set an intention. I do an opening prayer and set an intention, and I would rattle, and I would clear things that don't belong and bring back what does, and that's just based on the guidance that I get from my helping spirits. So I wanted to say this before, that the helping spirits that we use when we're shamanic practitioners and in shamanism are ones that we have a well-developed relationship with and that we know are our power animals or teaching spirits. We don't just work with random different spirits all the time, but you develop it's like a long-term relationship that is fed and nurtured like you would a human relationship. So that's another aspect of shamanism I wanted to mention when you'd asked that question before. So that was a good opportunity to put that in. Yes.
So
yeah.
I'm looking here at my notes. And I appreciate your patience. I always feel like when we have interesting, kind of weird technical things and you're the practitioner that gets to live through the technology, it's because you're special and your process is something that needs to be heard. Because I always find that when you're up to something amazing, that it's almost like forces want to fight against you. And they can't fight because they can't win, because light always wins, right?
I like to think that, yeah.
So I'm looking at your website. Huh? In the long term, it does, and and people don't believe that sometimes, and then they give into it. But light always wins. And the thing about what you're talking about, you know, you gave a really great exercise. You talk about, you know, you burn a candle and you brought in the power of grace. When you bring in the power of the light and you let it happen, it can be so powerful. And it feels like your shamanistic support system is helps people with that. I'm looking at your definitions on your website. They're a really great website. It talks about the shamanism, the journey, but then it talks about soul retrieval. And I know that you mentioned that in your own process. I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak to soul retrieval. What is soul retrieval, and how is this a powerful tool that we all must engage in here?
Well, almost everybody has soul loss from something in their life. And so I'm trying to think the best way to answer this. When you say that, how we all must engage it, what do you mean by that?
Well, when I look at what you have here, it just feels so powerful as I read through it. You know, one of the things that you have on your website, you talk about the symptoms of soul loss include anxiety, addictions, depression, unresolved grief, problems in relationships, not feeling like yourself, feeling empty or disconnected. And as I read that and people are listening, I am sure there's a multitude of people who are like, that's me, I got that, I feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you're saying here that there's a process that you can take me through to help get in there and release that so I don't feel that anymore.
Right.
And it feels like all of us, no matter how centered we are, no matter how empowered we are in our process, it feels like all of us could benefit from this process. Does that make more sense?
I think so. I often think that if these kinds of practices were a part of people's medical treatments, that they would get better a lot faster. Because when we have losses, then our system isn't operating at full. And there's so many different tools this way that are complementary to, say, our health, our psychological and mental well-being, and our spirit, really. A big part of healing is spirit. So, you know, when we get part of our spirit back, we're more present, we're more grounded, we're more in our bodies, so that makes us less vulnerable to other spiritual influences. It makes us, when we're more in our body, we are more present and can make decisions, better decisions. We can see and enjoy life better. We can let life into our hearts and be engaged with life more. So it's really another way that Sandra Ingerman, my teacher, describes soul retrieval is getting our vital essence back. And so we oftentimes, what comes back isn't the damaged part, it's the part that left because of whatever happened. And that has, oftentimes it can be our self-confidence, our sense of joy, a sense of ease or trust. It can be qualities like that that comes back. Another way we can have soul loss is through soul stealing, which when, say, we're in a relationship with somebody who's really jealous or insecure or alcoholic or very self-absorbed, it can be like they take a part of our soul. So we can get those soul parts back. We can give a part of our soul away.
you actually going through this process can help people not just release the stuff, but just go bring it back and like repair the pieces that somebody may have. That's amazing.
And so
that's amazing.
In doing that, we're disentangling entanglements with people that aren't healthy, or that we no longer want or no longer serve or are appropriate.
Wow.
So it's in a nutshell how I see it, like if I were to describe it in the most simple terms, is I get rid of what doesn't belong to you, not what's not in and of your own true and vital nature, and bring back what is part of you naturally. And I always also bring back a power animal for people during the first session. And that's a guardian spirit that takes the form of an animal to keep us protected and healthy and strong. So it's more than just an animal spirit. It's actually a guardian spirit. Much like angels are guardian spirits, we all have ancestral guardian spirits. And oftentimes trees are often guardian spirits for us. So a power animal is a guardian spirit that looks after us and helps us to keep us protected and strong. And because they impart part of their power to us, we also have similar kinds of gifts that they might have.
So power animals, that's really very fascinating. So you will help people connect to their power animals to help give them another tool. So I feel like if I come to you as a practitioner, you're not just going to sit me down and say, okay, Angel, here's the answer to your question. Have a nice life. Give me a call if you need anything. You give me tools to move my life forward and your goal for me to go forth and be prosperous and being able to support myself. Is that a fair assessment?
I would say that, because with information, we can only do so much, because all of these patterns are usually, a lot of them are phenomenological. I mean, sometimes they're wired into our nervous system. Sometimes, you know, they're energetically in our system, and so it's very hard to think. We can't think our way through a lot of these things.
Wow. Very cool. So I want to give you this has been a really fascinating call show. You've talked a lot about kind of this interesting combination of kind of ancient tribal knowledge combined with some of the more Western Christian. It's just such a wonderful combination of gifts that you bring to the table. And I want to give you another opportunity to talk about how a person can work with you, how somebody can contact you, how many different ways in which I can work with you if I wanted to work with you. And if you have anything, you know, maybe a special offering that you'd like to throw out there for the listeners if they wanted to reach out to you.
Well, I can be reached. My website is shamanichealingarts.com. That's shamanichealingarts.com. And my email is on this. So my email is Michelle, MICHELLE, at shamanichealingarts.com. And that's probably the best way to reach me. There's also a contact submission form on my website. I would go to my website. I developed it so there's a lot of information and people can take it in and see if something resonates with them and contact me that way.
Okay.
I'd be happy to offer a $25 discount to people. Again, my sessions are long. It's a bit of an investment. They're two-hour sessions. And for people who are brand new to this, I recommend doing three sessions. And so I have a special discount for that. And then I'm happy to send people information for that. And if funds are limited, I do everything I can in that 2 hour time. So I want to work with people where they are as best that I can. So.
And you're up in the Pacific Northwest, which is absolutely gorgeous. I'm finding that I'm being drawn myself out to that area. It's absolutely gorgeous. I was up in the Oregon area for the eclipse, and the energy as you go up north is just so powerful. And you were proud to state that you were born and you're a native of the Seattle area. Is the energy up there just much more rich in supportive of this type of work? I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's a little hectic down here.
Yeah, it's gotten hectic up here too. In terms of the city, our city leaders have kind of handed the keys over to developers. So it's kind of crazy here right now in terms of that.
Oh, the growth is coming in there, right?
Yeah, it's pretty insane. But, you know, as I'm talking to you, I'm looking out my window and all I see are trees. I take a walk up a hill and I can see Mount Rainier and the Lake Washington and the Cascade Mountains. So
I'm jealous.
In terms of that, it's glorious here. The nature in this area is incredible. We have a volcano to the south and a volcano to the north, and to the east and west we have mountain ranges.
That's beautiful. And we're almost done. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to give you a call to action. I do this with all my guests. Like, if you could have one message that you could put out there for people to take away about who you are or what you desire for them, what would that message be?
I would want people to, I think a good antidote for all of us is think of one thing every day that we're grateful for, and to really connect, let our hearts fill with that those who we love or something we're grateful for in our lives. Even if that can be hard to find, you can always find something. Like right now, I'm glad I'm seeing the sun shining on the leaves, and it fills my heart. And my puppy's curled up beside me. And and that opens my heart. And from that place, I can connect to the web of life, to the web of light, and all the other people praying for peace and harmony in our world and beauty in our world. And I would say that is as we connect within to our hearts, we can connect without to all the other hearts that are there, that are operating at the same kind of vibration and intention and integrity for life.
God, that was beautiful. Oh, my goodness. That was just perfect. Couldn't have ended it any better than that. Thank you so much, Michelle, for being on the show. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again, perhaps giving you another opportunity to come on in the future when the systems and the rains and the storms aren't interfering with our lovely technology.
Thank you.
I will be Go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you so much. You've been the best radio interviewer I've ever worked with.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate your presence and your thoughtful questions. And you're very, very good at what you do. So thank you for this opportunity. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day. God bless you. You keep doing what you do, and you give your little puppy a scratch on his ear for me.
I will. Thank you. Bless you, too.
Thank you. Have a fabulous morning. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Welcome to New Age Guild Radio. We are a growing community striving to bring you New Age and holistic